Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome. This is Our Shepherd's View. Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and it is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Gospel of Matthew today tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field.
A treasure buried. In other words, it's something that's so obvious to us, and all we have to do is dig a little bit into our life, or I would say push away the things in our life so that the treasure that's in us is so obvious and evident. I also want to speak just a moment about World Youth Day. So several of our young people, about 25 of them, are over in Portugal now. And this is a recording, as most people know. And so I'm over there with them.
Right.
So please pray for us. And I think it's going to be a very fruitful time being with people from all over the world. And of course, being with the Holy Father in Portugal and being able to go to Fatima and pray for the diocese to our Blessed Mother and to be together as a young church is going to be really exciting.
We're very, very glad to hear that that is going to be happening. And we pray for you, Bishop, as well as the young people that will be on the journey as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let us begin now by listening to this Sunday's gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it to shore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking to us in parables again this Sunday, and from Matthew chapter 13, we remember from our catechism that a parable is a simple story to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson.
Yes. You know, I in looking at these and kind of analyzing them a bit, or, you know, putting them in context, because so often we hear one thing and we forget about what we heard last Sunday, or we don't consider it in as a continuing flow of teaching, which the gospel is that. I mean, it's food for our life. But I thought it was interesting. Last week we began with the good seed and the weed, the wheat and the taros, the bad wheat growing together. And we end this one, after each of these little sections, with the evil and the good. And so I think that's just reality that we need to look at. But I thought it might be good just for a moment to look at what is this evil that we're talking about. And obviously, Jesus does speak about you know, the devil and the fiery furnaces and all these things. But what are these evils? I think it would be good for us, before we get into these other parables today, to really look at what are these capital sins. I mean, I think those are the things we learn about, we hear about, we forget. Operative they are at times in our life. And again, as I said last week, we need to name the evil. We need to name the sin,
so that we can be aware of it.
Exactly. And just quickly, just so that we can set up the context for today's lesson, their pride, you know, and I would say to all of us, there's temptations, if not the reality of pride in all of our life, some level. There's greed,
At times we want what we want, and we want it now, and we begin to hoard things. We stack up riches and all these kinds of things, and we know there's a parable about that. Putting them all in our barns, and then everything collapses, and we don't have them anymore. So this kind of avarice, they call it, this greed that is sometimes present in our life. The next is envy. You know, being envious of what other people have, who other people are, what their accomplishments are and not mine. Comparing myself, we waste a lot of time with that. I mean, we are that unique creature of God, born for His to do His will. Another is wrath or anger, and that's not getting angry at the car that cuts in front of me. That's not that kind of angry, but a seething anger against someone because of something they said, because of something they did, and we hold on to it. That's the kind of anger that eats up a person. That, again, is the bad seed, the weed that is present in our life. These are just things that are the evils that creep into our life that Satan does plant and uses for every opportunity to plant something. There's also the sin of lust. And of course, in every age, it expresses itself so differently. I think now just to point out one is the pornography and the internet and all these things that create and hit this part of our human nature, which is created for the good, and yet evil. When lust is put into our life, it hits that part that's meant for good, which is meant for relationship, mm-hmm. and turns it into something that is evil. The sin of gluttony, mm-hmm. We all need to be nourished. Again, another good thing. But we, because of whatever, a propensity for overeating or advertising that just entices us and we get pulled away. And then finally, the sin of sloth, laziness. Which is giving in to ourself and not being proactive in doing what God wants us to do and doing what our state in life requires. You know, a family person, a husband or a wife who neglects each other or neglects the children, gives in to this selfishness, which is part of sloth or laziness. So all of these sins, I think we just need to be aware of them again: pride and greed and envy. And anger, lust, gluttony, and laziness. All of these kind of create that environment around us that we have to live through this as Christian people who are called to live the Word. And so then when we see what the battlefield, you might say, is like, then we can look at these parables again and say, wow, that we're really called to tighten our belt and live well. So, for example, today we're looking at the treasure that is hidden in a field. The interesting thing here is here's a person who was at work and he found a treasure. And that's something that we have to be, again, aware of. It's not like we live 6.5 days a week apart from the call to live our Christian life in union with Christ and in union with one another. But even at work, is to not only witness, but also to look around. And you may find a treasure. Again, I use the example sometimes of something a little child would say. It may just awaken in us something that is very beautiful. And so there's treasures everywhere. Look for the treasures. They're out mm-hmm. there. You'll see goodness in so many areas. People doing things for one another. As you use that term, the random acts of kindness, not only in us, but look around you. And so he found the treasure in daily work, and it was worth a sacrifice to perhaps call the worker who left everything and to buy the field meant he was ready now to do the will of God. And so once we begin to notice the beauty around us, the treasures around us, we see that as we pray the Our Father, not my, or our, as in on earth as it is in heaven, your will be done. That's our call, and it's calling us to a higher value of life. To really see that we're created for the good. We're created to live a gospel life, which is the call to good, not the call to follow all the evils that are around us. So I think that's the first lesson for today's gospel in the treasure. It was found in a common circumstance. We live our Christian life everywhere, no matter where we are, and we see it. The goodness of God around us, and that we're willing then to put ourselves on the line to do God's will and to participate in that. I like to say we need to allow ourselves to be surprised by God. But if our heads are down, we're not looking, or everything's wrong, and the world's going overboard, and we're not going to see it. Mm-hmm. We can never be surprised by God. So we need to anticipate and to expect the beautiful treasures that are there.
And the second parable that Jesus shares with us this Sunday is about the beauty of a pearl.
Right. Again, another very common image. Of course, pearls were very, very rare. And when one was found, it was great. But when a fine pearl was it was not just the value. And I think this is something, again, that we overlook in life. It's not just the value of the pearl, but it was its beauty. I don't think we spend enough time in life looking for beauty. Our world certainly doesn't present beauty to us. We even, in terms of relating to God, we relate to God as the omnipotent one, you know, the all-powerful. We relate to God as the omniscient, the all-knowing God, all-compassionate God. What if we looked at God as all-beautiful, you know, and just to really recapture the meaning of beauty? I think in our worlds of art in the past, beauty was something that was really sought and looked for. And I think it was Hans Urs von Balthasar, one of the great Swiss theologians of about 50 years ago, spoke a lot about God who is beautiful, to have an appreciation for beauty. And I don't know if I want to comment too much on that as far as what we see in our world today, but there's a lot of areas and things that are not beautiful.
So it's up to us to be able to look around and admire the true beauty of our surroundings.
And that takes time, to be able to sit there, and not to give in to sloth and laziness, but to take that time. Actually, this morning I was sitting in my sitting room, and I have a view of the bay and just watch the sun. It was mm-hmm. just creeping up, to appreciate that. Or I've oftentimes doing confirmations, I've spoken about looking at the stars of the heaven and just appreciating that God created this. This is beauty.
And taking time to see it. Thank you, Bishop.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
Calling all teens 14 to 17 and young adults 18 to 39. World Youth Day stateside is coming to Corpus Christi. It's in concert with World Youth Day Lisbon. The date is Saturday, August 5th, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. This is pretty much a save the date announcement, but you can get more information or you can volunteer by calling the Corpus Christi Diocese Director of Young Adult Ministry at 361-693-6614.
Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi, remains in need of daily volunteers to assist with operations Mondays through Thursdays. Several volunteers are needed right away. Duties include filling out forms for clients, answering telephones, stocking the pantry, and client interaction. In times like these, we can all help a little here and a little there. It all adds up to helping others. If you can only give of your time 1 or 2 days a week, that's fine, because every little bit helps. We all know that giving and doing for others always makes us feel better. For more information, call 361-884-0651. Learn more at catholiccharities-cc.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey as we discuss this Sunday's Gospel from Matthew. And before the break, Bishop, we spoke about the parable of the beauty of the pearl. And you were saying, Bishop, that we should all find the time to appreciate the beauty that is all around us. And you also talked about finding that balance where we deny ourselves.
Yeah. You know, thinking of the spiritual life, the Christian life, the gospel life that we're called to, we're also told to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow. And we really need to have a balanced life when we think of these things. Yes, we are to deny ourselves. We're to live an ascetical life, We're to pick up our cross every day, and believe me, they're there every day. We can't reject them. But we also have to, according to this gospel, we also look to look for the fine pearls. You know, it's not just about carrying the cross. It's not just about self-denial. It's also about finding God in the beauty of life, the beauty of a newborn child. And so we need to really balance our life with the beauty of God's creation, the beauty of God's love for us, and to find that. And I think really there, it's not an either or, it's an and both. I really believe the more that we do deny ourselves, again, denial is denying these capital sins that we talked about earlier, putting those in check, taking up the present moment, the crosses that are there, that is all preparation then to know God's love, to see the beauty of God that is in God, to see the beauty of forgiveness. But when we don't live a balanced life, when it's only looking for the resurrection, we might say, or the beauty, then we're not prepared because we don't accept the cross. But if we only live such a rigorous and rigid life of the other, we miss that's preparation. That's the death part of Christianity. But where's the resurrection? You know, where's the beauty of the resurrection, the beauty of, for example, the disciples on the road to Emmaus who recognized Jesus? It's because they had experienced the cross that they were able to recognize him. And so we have to have both. And I think that's just one point where we move on to the next that I wanted to bring to our attention.
That is so much to think about.
Yeah, then the final one is the net. I think this almost kind of goes back to the weeds there. And so even the fish that are hauled in ashore are hauled in together. They're separated later. There's something I think here that is the idea of discrimination. And it's part of human nature. It's part of our fallen nature that we do have preferences. We discriminate. This person doesn't act the way I would want them to act. Certainly wouldn't be in my household that. And we find in the gospel too of Jesus calling the poor and the weary up to the front pew. But that's hard for us at times. But to not discriminate against other peoples, but to work with everyone. I think Catholic Charities, of course, we have such a strong and beautiful expression of Catholic Charities here in the diocese. I'm so proud of them. But the times when I go to Mother Teresa's shelter or to some other events, everybody's there. You know, if you discriminated, we'd all be there by ourselves. Everybody. And that brings us to a word that we hear so much about, tolerance. To be able to tolerate the other. Now, we have to be careful because it doesn't mean that we lose our values. It doesn't mean that we lose. This is our value, that God is the God of love, which means embraces all. And if Mary is mother of Jesus and mother of all of us, she's embracing all for the purpose of bringing them to good. We can't lose sight of the goal. We can't just say, you know, I discriminate you against you, or I tolerate you because I just accept the way you are. Yes, I accept you. It doesn't mean that I lose who I am, but it's an embracing of them for the good. Where do we find that? You know, we hear that Jesus, while we were still sinners, God has sent his son. Not when we were all perfect, but while we were sinners, he sent his son. So we never lose the core of who we are as disciples of Christ, as is called to be good Catholic Christians. However, that very essence of who we are, the value of that is that we open our arms to all. As St. Paul said, I become all things to all people in order to win them to Christ. And so that's our MO, that's our modus operandi. So these parables of the weeds growing with the wheat, the fish being hauled in together, it's all to bring them to the truth of God's love in Christ. At the end, again, as we talked about last week, that by their fruits you will know them, and that's God's work, the work of final judgment, to separate the good from the evil. That's not ours. Ours is to have a passion that all be one, that all come together and find the truth of who they are.
As we connect this discussion about tolerance with the seven deadly sins that we spoke about earlier, we can find hope and even beauty in offering ourselves to others and shining God's light, bringing Jesus to them through our actions. And we pray and we hope that we're guided by the Spirit to maybe affect change in their lives.
And I know I've mentioned this before, but I love St. Monica. She prayed for Augustine, who was anything but a good person, you might say, in his younger years. Did she tolerate him? Absolutely, because she loved him as a mother. Did she tolerate his sins? Absolutely not. Did she discriminate against him? No. Did she discriminate about where he went? Yes. Again, not losing herself, but she prayed for him 33 years. The patience, the leaven, unconditional love, and all of that. So our saints, when we're trying to understand these things, we need to see witnesses of them, the values that are here, the gospel values. They're lived out in our saints, and that's why we can never neglect the saints, not as a, but they're a host of witnesses whose lives shine the gospel to us, who explain, in many ways, explain the gospel to us. And so we refer back to them, not as we don't worship them, absolutely not, but they're our best friends. And if you want to know what we're talking about here, look at the lives of the saints. And knowing them is coming to know what Christ is calling us to in this day and age.
And as we talk about the saints, Bishop, a bit of a sidebar here. There literally is a saint for everybody. There is a daily saint featured on the USCCB website, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, usccb.org is the address. And as you look up those saints, you get to know more about them, you hear about their lives, and read how they moved towards sainthood, but how we can share some of those aspirations on our own spiritual journey, both individually and as a community. Some very interesting stories about the saints to be found there.
There's one, as you said, that's very nicely said, there's one for everybody. And to see those examples of really, really some heroic virtue. I was just looking on the Vatican website the other day, since you brought it up. There's, of course, they have to look at the cause of saints, and they accept certain signs, miracles, but they list them. There were martyrs. There were heroic virtues. And then there was the ones that had miracles. So as the church goes through this process, it's not a snap decision, but it's looking for heroic virtues. It's looking for, certainly martyrdom is to give one's life and blood physically for Christ. But there's also then that, you know, we need miracles. All that being said, it's just these are living people or who were living now and now living again in heaven, but they're examples to us of how to live this life that we've talked about the last 2 weeks with these parables of the kingdom of heaven.
So we can look for those daily stories about the saints and reflect about them, and they can help us in our own lives.
Yes. Yes.
And we see in the fourth section of the gospel, Jesus explains to the disciples about the end of time and how the wicked will be separated from the righteous, but also how there is still time to change.
And I think it also, you know, tells us that everything serves. I like that expression. Everything has a purpose. Again, some of the great saints would say that, you know, that every event, every headache, every getting caught in a traffic jam. And I know it sounds absurd, and I have to deal with it myself. I'm sure you do, and everyone out there does. And you get to that point and say, how can this be God's will for me right now? I'm late for a meeting or something. You know, something happens. Maybe it's that leaven to teach us to patience or to maybe root out a certain wrath and anger in us. Once that anger is kind of made aware, when we become aware of it in our own life, we need to take measures to root it out. So when we're talking about the end of time and judgment and being vigilant to that, we need to look around us today on this Sunday, but also tomorrow, Monday, and never, ever overlook an event that's going on in your own life. Everything serves. St. Catherine of Siena used to say that you can know God's will by studying it, but you can know it better by the opposite. What doesn't seem to be the will of God may just be that open door, that little treasure. And I would say, finally,
laugh at yourself, to stop and just laugh at ourselves, the ridiculousness of our attitudes sometimes. I don't mean lighten up in a negative sense or just to let go of any kind of values, but I do think we need to laugh at ourselves.
We need to open our eyes. Whatever we are going through that might be challenging, we have to remind ourselves that at one time or another, we all have shared that experience. We have that in common.
Oh, my goodness. For sure. Yeah, so just we need to, hopefully everybody today will smile and look at yourself and just laugh.
We end with a smile and, of course, a prayer, Bishop, if you would close the program for us now.
Lord, our God, you've called us to your kingdom, which is the kingdom of joy and peace and holiness, and you've given us your word to follow. As we again hear these parables today, we ask you to help us to look for the treasure of you in life, to look for your beauty in the fine pearls of life, and to do our part to root out what is not you in our lives. We entrust everything to you through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
The parish community of Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church invites you to a night of fun and fellowship called a family-free game night. Saturday, August 5th, from 6 till 8 p.m. at the parish, 5830 Williams Drive. There will be giant Jenga, giant Sorry, giant Candyland, and more. Enjoy free drinks, popcorn, hot dogs, and pickles. Games will be held under the school pavilion on the grounds. For more information, call the parish office, 361-991-7891. Some people are afraid to talk out loud about their faith or ask questions about other faiths or even discuss religion at all. Well, beginning Monday, September 11th at 6:30 p.m. in the St. Martin of Tours Parish Hall in Kingsville, you'll be invited to join Alpha. Literally, the word means beginning. In this case, Alpha is a chance for you to talk about your faith or learn about the Christian faith through a series of group conversations that explore the basics of the Christian faith in a friendly environment. It's a place to connect with people where you can say anything you like or nothing at all. Everyone is welcome, regardless of your background or faith tradition. To register in advance, visit stmartinkingsville.org/alpha or stop by the parish office, 504 East Ella Avenue in Kingsville, or call the parish office, 361-592-4602.